night on the Tomorrow Show. Kevin Rocks took a deep dive into the spouse house. The rest of us were irresponsible millennials for not watching a show called Spouse House. Jeffrey and David came in, talked to friends in episodes we were mad about them. The only thing that we didn't see is Brad Pitt's penis upon the TV.
New media, the final frontier. These are the broadcasts of the Tomorrow Show. Its mission, to befriend fellow nocturnals, escapists, and dreamers. Not to mention angry loners, the socially inept, and those with Peter Pan syndrome. To boldly go where no broadcast has gone before. The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. Your overnight broadcast featuring one celebrity boyfriend's midlife crisis, millennials in Star Trek costumes, and so much more. The underdog's best friend. And all you need is a smartphone or access to the internet. Here's the captain of your tomorrow, Kevin Undergaro!
You see, when you hear that, Raylan, that's a song that sounds like a Mangria Monday. Hello, people of tomorrow. We begin our journey one day down in a long list of weekly scams. One down, Michael Klaus, and three more to go.
Some would say that.
Michael, please. 99% of the people say that. We have a laugh here, especially in Hollywood. Nobody works on Fridays. But even it's proven, everyone's checked out.
Well, I think a lot of people were checked out today, even. I read so much about...
Oh, yeah. No. Nobody worked today.
There was billions in lost productivity.
I could hear there was no traffic outside the walls here. Normally, there's a shortcut that everyone takes to get into L.A. Empty. Because, solar eclipse, just shut it down.
We need to have more of these.
Yeah, we need to have more. Yeah, more scams. Roxy Stryer over at the Tomorrow Show Bar.
Hiya, Kev.
Hi, darling. I'm sure we'll talk to you about the solar eclipse.
Wicked marginal.
Was it marginal? Yeah, it was marginal.
Well, from L.A., it was less than marginal. It was nothing.
Sean Waltman over there, too. Did you see it?
Yeah, I did.
I was able to see a little bit of the moon get into the sun.
Yeah, but you have to have the glasses. If you don't have the glasses, you don't see.
So what did you do? Did you have
Stephen Lemieux had the glasses. So we all took turns looking at the...
And you could see it.
Hell yeah. It's just you can't just look straight at it.
I noticed it got super bright, brighter than any sun I've ever seen, and that's what it was?
Well, actually, if I was looking outside and not looking straight up at the sun, it was actually darker.
Wow.
Could
you see the ring around it?
Have the glasses on, or else you couldn't really.
Yeah, no. I mean, I didn't have the glasses. No. I was just looking straight up. And then I got the idea, wait, maybe someone created an app where you could put your phone on it, and I couldn't find one of those either.
Now, you don't have a pair of welding goggles around here.
What? I can't believe at Paquito Home Depot here, I was like, oh my god, wait, I thought I had, and I couldn't find them.
Because that's kind of what.
The welding goggles.
That is, yeah.
God.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. It wasn't earth-shattering.
Well, I think it's just a moment. Yeah. And there's probably symbolism behind it, too.
Oh, yeah.
If you see it, I think. Lauren LaGrasso.
Hey, Kev.
I'm sure for you, you probably were thinking about 12 different songs you were going to write.
I wrote a song today, actually.
Based on the eclipse?
Not based on the eclipse. My friend asked me to write a song for her movie that she's making. But
it's a great scam right there.
It is a great scam, and I wrote for the Tomorrow Show. But no, I love that you call your house Paquito Home Depot. That is amazing. I never knew that.
There's also Paquito Office Max here. We have it all.
That's amazing.
We try to keep everybody on campus.
Yeah. Got everything you need.
Don't need to be going out there. Right, Raylan?
That's right, Kev.
Raylan, how you doing in the booth?
I'm doing good in the booth.
Booth.
Yeah. Have good people to help me. So
I see. Bonjour, Juliette. Comment ça va, Juliette?
Bonjour, bonjour. I have to say, Raylan's been doing amazing in the booth, so snaps to her.
Nice job, Scamlin. Michael Klaus over at the social media desk. I think this whole eclipse thing, I think we touched on it last week, but a lot of trend, I feel just so much transition going on.
You think, Kev?
Yeah, I mean, everyone I know is breaking up. Right. Everybody's moving on, and I don't think it's a bad thing. But
it's okay. It's a good thing.
But I just
mostly.
It seems more than coincidental. I know, like Sam Roberts, he doesn't buy into any of this stuff. So that's my shout out to Jim Norton and Sam Roberts show. Sam had an unbelievable week, by the way. I always tell him this is his homecoming week, SummerSlam in New York.
Yeah,
oh, he's like a kid in a candy store. He had the live show. Yeah. Like 300 or 400 people.
Yeah, Seth Rollins, and I forget who else. Maybe
he crushed.
Sasha Banks or something.
And it wasn't even like it was his show. It wasn't serious. Yeah. Serious broadcasting.
Exactly.
But it's just funny because he was having some issues over there where they weren't putting his name up on the website. Like they were featuring everybody and their mother. Like the guys who don't even have shows. Like that have shows that are like on demand but not even live.
Right.
But not Sam. So. But it's so funny because other
That's
than
serious?
Yeah. Well, because you have it, listen, it's the web department. It's not like there's some guy, big guy at Sirius, like most civilians like to think, or even workers like to think, where they think there's one guy who's completely focused on them, fucking them over.
And don't they have a lot of celebrities there that don't really have highly rated shows?
Tons. Well, because that pleases the stockbrokers. That pleases the stock, the stock people, because it's a publicly traded company, so you're getting public. So
but it also soothes
it's
their
a lot
egos
of that
too, right? When they put them on the marquee.
Well. Yes, but I think in turn, again, that's going to look better to a, if you're a public company, right. Sean, that is going to look better. It makes you look richer as a network. But I don't think it's just someone over in that department who is lame and not doing their job. That's probably more what it is. And who knows? Maybe there's some familiarity breeds contempt because they've seen little Sammy running around at 21 and now he's, as an intern, now he's got his own show. And you know how people are. By the way, did you ever experience that where you got in so young that they were just like, no, you're always the bitch? Come on, tell me.
Yeah. I'm going to give you one example. That was after I'd already, I was in NWO and I came back to DX.
Right.
Or, we did all that. So they come out with the D-Generation X DVD. Mm-hmm. Sean's already long since dropped the title and not been in DX for... I don't know, quite a while, many, many months.
Right.
The DVD comes out. Sean, Hunter, and China on the front cover.
What?
Me and Road Dogg and Billy, little picture on the fucking back. They didn't even want to show it to me because they knew I would blow a fucking gasket, and I did.
Okay, so what's the genesis behind that? How did that go down?
I didn't even ask because it didn't fucking matter, Gav, because they're not going to redo the...
No, but... But maybe it would have been good for the future to say, okay, fine. One got by the goalie. But moving ahead, maybe it would have been a good idea.
Yeah. I think I have a pretty good idea. Not something I want to
talk about.
No.
Was it other talent wanting to be featured?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That didn't fucking need it. You know what I mean?
Speaking of what, Jerry Lewis just died, and speaking of a talent that, I know, but he was a talent that couldn't have enough spotlight.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I
wasn't a very happy fellow,
no,
right?
No.
But
no.
Amazing. A fucking amazing talent.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Come on.
No. I think he was, as a storyteller, he was smarter than you thought. Like, he had all these, what do we call videoists? Video Village or whatever, like if you film, there's a little device that goes on, you would go on top of the camera that's video.
Yeah.
And by having video assist, you were able to play back shots to say, or you're able to play back shots for continuity and, oh my God, he had a cigarette in this hand, he should have it in the other hand. It was just such a breakthrough. That was Jerry Lewis. That was his innovation. And he had several of those innovations. But I don't look like I still watch Three Stooges stuff and I'm cracking up. But I watch Groucho Marx and I'm still like trying to catch up to Groucho's lines. They're so lightning fast. I watch old Jerry Lewis stuff. I'm not laughing.
Really?
No.
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Well, there you go. But no.
I have some issues with some of the stuff he did.
And
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go. No, sorry.
Like when they did, you know, where he put the buck teeth in and act like the Asian, you know.
It just was him and Uncle Milty. They were just corny and sticky. Yeah. But when I see some of the stuff, the choices that Curly made, it still, like, blows my mind. So it's not that I'm against physical comedy. It's just, you know. But anyway, he was... to me, there wasn't enough spotlight for him. And there's a lot of those guys where it's also like with people worth $300 million that, like, they're still violent to get $300 million in $1.
That was his
issue.
They
get that extra dollar. And I still haven't wrapped my brain around that. And I see this with a lot of super famous wrestlers or stars. Like, when is it just enough?
Yeah.
Like, when can you get some energy, like, kind of bringing someone else up?
So not being able to get enough spotlight, that's what ended him and Dean Martin, I'm assuming.
He said that they started cutting the music, the songs, Dean's songs, out because kids didn't want to see that in a movie, and that would bother Dean. And I think that Dean was just such a chill guy, you know. We had his daughter in here.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you
and
about
it was
that.
Like, yeah. He just was so laid back, and then Jerry was the exact opposite, which was micromanage everything, every element, and it just was so much about him that I think Justine was like, get away from me, you know. I just want to have a couple of drinks and do my thing, and you know, I just think personality wise they're different. I don't know.
What do you think the deal was with him, where he was, I mean, so big into, like, the MDA and all that philanthropic stuff.
Oh, God.
And then, on the other hand, he fucking hated everyone.
Yeah. Well, there was a story where, Lauren's laughing. I tried to find it in the Inquirer. There was a story where a handicapped kid came up to him and was like, Jerry, you're my idol. I can't believe I'm meeting you. And he was just like, get the hell away from me. He shushed him away. I'd also heard, no one's ever said this, but I heard that he was paid to do that. That was a paid gig. Not that that's what, you know, he did, but, you know, it's why he did or didn't. But I heard he was paid, and paid rather well.
That was one of those things you have every Labor Day.
It was huge.
You watched. You sat and you
and
watched.
Because he had to hog that spotlight, 20 years ago he was supposed to pass that off to a Seacrest.
Yeah.
And it would probably still be on the air. But nope. Me. Like, to your point about maybe whoever didn't want you on the title because they had to have more spotlight.
Sorry, Kev, you heard he was paid to do that with the handicapped kid, or you heard that he was paid to do
the
telethon?
No, he's paid to host the telethon.
Telethon, oh.
It was a paid gig. I mean, but he made it his life.
He claimed that it was volunteer position.
I don't think anyone's ever mentioned it, but I just had heard from people. And I might be wrong, so I'm qualifying it. I had heard from people that, yeah, he was paid a lot of money to do that. Not that he didn't make a lot of money. But there's many lessons in that, because he needed to turn it over at some point. But then the idiots who kicked him out, who didn't respect talent, like a lot of, you know, people who hate talent and stars. Like, at the end of the day, Sean, like, you and the NWO and DX, like, you guys draw. At the end of the day, it would be, sure, be nice to send out six other guys who do exactly what we tell them to do, and we don't have to pay them a lot. But if nobody cares about them, right? What good is it? Well, even with the telethon, once they kicked out Jerry, it was gone in 2 years. You know? Yeah. But again, that's somebody like, and we deal with these executives all the time, because I deal with it with Maria, where they're constantly trying to minimize talent and be like, no, we'll just get a no-name in here to do it. Like, because they think
it's value in your
sure,
mind.
And we'll bring someone in who's a no-name, because at the end of the day, my idea is so amazing that the no-name will be amazing with my idea, or the no-name will be so amazing on my network. And that's not always the case. In fact, you know, there's a reason why. And you guys are called influencers, you know, and you move the needle. And that's why Sirius has all those stars when you go in there.
Do you think on the telethon, do you think on that telethon, like, they always seem to get the goal in top last year.
Every
it
year.
It was a work,
yeah.
Man. Come on, Kev.
But now imagine all that money gone. And that once they kicked him out, it lasted maybe a year and a half, and it went from to... By the way, because you want to know what a loser I am? I held on to the end. And then I started making Maria watch it. And she's like, what am I watching? You know, she never saw it in her childhood.
Yeah.
And we watched the last year, the 24 hours. She was horrified. Then we watched the 6-hour one. Then we watched the 2-hour one at the end. And she's like, what am I watching? Like, I don't understand. I had to explain to her the history. And then I pulled up the YouTube videos of all the old things.
And then, like, all the sets, didn't they get kind of cheesy looking towards the end?
No, it wasn't that they were cheesy looking. It was just that they were outdated. You know, yeah. It was like all these old relics that, like, so it was this amazing train wreck at the end. To me, I loved it more. At the end, I was like, "This, I'm all in. How do we keep this going?"
There's actually an amazing article in the Washington Post saying exactly that I read today, talking about how like he was criticized so much for how he treated the people. And like I said, in 2001, he had to apologize for referring to people in wheelchair as cripples. And he said, "I'm telling you about a child in trouble. If it's pity, we'll get some money."
Fucking
well, he's old school. That's, you know, yeah. It was just not a politically correct time. And remember, like he was associated with the Rat Pack, and it was just a different time.
Definitely wasn't a Rat Pack member, though. Just an associate, him? Right?
The associate, yeah, and he's always denies it, too. I remember when Maria interviewed him, he was like, nope, I am not a member. I was never a member. Wasn't asked to be a member, you know. But he was like...
cool enough.
So let's say, if I'm trying to think, who was... NWO adjacent or DX adjacent, like liked by you guys and respected but not in Giant. No, Big Show.
How about Click adjacent?
Yeah, who's that? Who's
PJ?
Who's PJ?
Just Incredible.
Really?
Yeah, he was kind of like our, but like a lot of people were going like he's like.
Really? So he would be the Jerry Lewis to your Sinatra and.
Well, not a dick though. Not good guy.
No, I don't mean that. I mean like who's big enough? I'm trying to think. I would think it would be somebody bigger, someone who almost stands on their own.
Oh, I see what.
But
you're
is
saying.
Not really in. Like Jerry Lewis stood on his own.
Yeah, I see what.
But
you're saying.
And they obviously the connections with Frank and Sammy.
DDP,
yeah. Yeah, DDP's the Jerry Lewis. Yeah. To your NWO,
right.
Why is DDP to Jerry Lewis?
Because he was our buddy, but he was never
buddies. Not in the group, not in there. But
we
but
did
friend.
Business with them. Did business. Yeah,
that's hilarious.
Hung out.
Yeah, with Jerry, it was I don't know. Just and he just reminds me of someone. He just unfortunately that when you are so mean, and you.
It's hard to overlook that.
I think when you vent so much of your meanness in such an uncaring way, you live longer. So no matter how much he smoked and drank, like in his early life, I just find people like that live longer than the nice people who kind of keep their mouth shut. They withhold. Yeah. I don't want to hurt Sean's feelings. I don't want to say this mean thing to, you know, whatever. But a guy like that, it's just, he was just, he'd tell anyone to F themselves. Yeah. And,
well, the last thing that, I think most of us remember him for, especially us millennials, is that THR interview he did with the Hollywood Reporter.
Oh, yeah, he was great.
Where it was amazing.
Yeah.
You see, they shamelessly put that out today and were like, watch our hysterical interview with Jerry
Lewis.
It was
his last interview.
Yeah, it was, but it's like, I don't know if that's the nicest thing to call it. Like, watch our hilarious, cringeworthy.
I don't know. He brought a lot on himself. So, I mean, he had a good run. He made a lot of money. You know. But anyway, I just think I was talking about that. Just I don't know why it got me over to
91.
Sam Roberts. Yeah, good run.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Mike?
No, I wasn't going to say anything. To begin with, I had read that he raised $2.5 billion for Muscular. I mean,
there you go.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of money. I mean, that's where it's like, you know, where they were like, no, we'll get rid of him. We'll bring in, I think, like Nigel Lithgow, the executive producer of American Idol. He'll be the new host. Okay.
Well, I mean, was that like a money-saving thing? I mean,
it was like too much too late. Like, yeah, we need to reinvent this. We need to, and you don't, that's not how you do it. You're supposed to do what ABC did with Dick Clark and Ryan Seacrest. It's just like wrestling.
Pass the torch.
The old tag, you know, the old guy in the tag team and the young guy, and that's it, you know? Tony Garea and Rick Martel.
Yeah.
That's
a good example.
But, yeah, you got your old Haystack Calhoun and Tony Garea.
And then later on, it was Rick Martel was the old guy and Tom Zenk. Remember that?
And Tom Zenk, that's right.
That's the Can-Am.
Yeah. You were the young guy for a lot of people.
Marty Jannetty.
Yeah. I didn't even know you tagged with him.
I was the tag team champion to Marty Jannetty.
I forgot he got another run.
Yeah, he was my partner for a while. Yeah. That was interesting.
But wait, when you were 1-2-3 Kid?
Yeah.
Okay, when you were 1-2-3 Kid.
Uh-huh.
Well, it was interesting because he got overserved a lot.
Oh, every night.
He got overserved a lot. He got fucked.
Oh, yeah.
When I read Sean's book and he talked about it at the end, he flew him in to a Bible study. You would love that, Mike. It was nice.
To not much avail.
No. No.
Marty's still partying. It's still Party Marty.
Party Marty. Yep. You know what? Okay, you know what, though?
It's all fun.
Whatever. If someone can bankroll it. It can't be bankrolled. That's what sucks. Yeah, you gotta.
He can't walk.
No.
He can barely walk. His ankles are fused. At least one of them, last time I saw.
I'm not doing so much better over here with my finger.
I see that.
What happened?
What happened today? My usual waste self. I have to find a way to do bar rescue from headquarters here, from the Taffer Bar. So. Taffer's really down on me that I'm getting Taffered. It's so funny. I'm getting like yelled at like his bar owners because I'm not doing the bar rescue after show. But with Maria's condition and everything going on, like I can't really, it's hard. I can't get over to the studio. So I have.
And he's not understanding of that?
I mean, yeah, but I mean, people are just so used to us we just keep going. You know what I mean? Like people are just used to us just. We just keep, you know. So, it's not like I said that to him. Like I just said, John, and he backed off. But I know how he feels. So, and I love John, so I want to do it. So we had a couple of old acrylic AfterBuzz signs from back in the day. So I recycled them to make them lit tabletop signs. And, I did it in, I don't know, like 25 minutes. Like I did it really fast. And unfortunately... When you do rush, which is me doing everything in my life, I was sawing using a handsaw, it got caught in a knot in the wood. So when it got caught in the wood, it got stuck. And when I went to pull it out and then just naturally go back down, I went and I sawed my finger.
It was very nasty.
Yeah. So, and then I couldn't. So the eclipse is going on. Karen's screaming for me like, you have to see the eclipse. You have to see it. And I knew she saw it. She would have freaked out. I would have been at the hospital for the tetanus shots and the stitches and all. And I'm like, okay. And being a carny, as you know, being a wrestler, we're the same. So I'm like, okay, I got to get everyone out of my way quietly. And so I elevate it, wrap it in like a rag I had, and I had to just kind of walk by them. And I scooted into our laundry room with the big sink, you know, put it under cold water, then iced it, and then peroxide. That's usually the process. And then I did the, normally I would do super glue at that point. You ever do that one, Sean?
Yeah.
But I didn't do the super glue on
this
one. What
do you mean?
You put super glue
on it?
You squeezed it together instead of stitches. As long as it's clean. I don't want to give anyone bad advice here. But if you have no health insurance, as I didn't for years, you just had to learn in the carny business to take care of yourself. So the old carnies taught me it, but you'd squeeze your cut together. Okay, make sure it's clean, obviously peroxide, hydrogen peroxide, or even straight alcohol. I mean, there were times like I knew guys who would put their they'd put their hands in like gas cans and turpentine and because to cauterize the cut, you know, and make it clean. But you would get it clean, and I've known guys actually take straight vodka to do it too. But then once it's clean and dry, you squeeze the cut back together instead of getting stitches, and there's squirt super glue on it. And in a few seconds, it should fuse.
It's actually better in a lot of ways. It leaves less scarring.
Better than what?
Than just regular stitches. Yeah, and it's a technique used by
it works
and things
and
like
I
that.
And I was just like, I have so much going on right now, and we have a lot going on the East Coast. Like it just seems like we're backed up on everything because of what's going on. And I'm like, I don't have time to go down to the hospital and get the shots and get the stitches.
Do you reapply it? You put the glue on multiple times or it's just once?
Just once usually. And then you have to hope it doesn't break. And then I wrapped it. And then, you know, and then like I did Neosporin and now I'll just keep rewrapping it.
Doesn't the glue go inside you? I'm kind of stuck on this.
A little bit.
It's okay though.
Listen, as long as you're having fun doing it, what does it matter? So anyway, got that. I had to get that out of the way. So without Karen seeing it, so I knew that was gonna be like that. Would have been like.
Does she know yet?
Oh yeah, now she knows. So, but I'm like.
Now that you're all super glued up.
Super glued up and ready to go, baby doll. Oh my goodness, Rox! How was your anniversary this weekend?
Thanks for asking, Kev.
Was it nice?
Really fucking great.
Okay.
Yeah. There was a lot of speed bumps, and we just were like, screw this, we're determined.
They went to a hotel because they are 2-year anniversary or
yeah,
what?
Yeah, it was our 2-year anniversary.
2-year scam. Okay. So pretty much that's where the story ends. There's nothing, no 3 alarms, no locusts, no floods, none of that stuff, no fighting with people there.
We fought with them a little bit, the people at the place. Yeah, but it was okay. It was okay. We ended up getting like half of our thing comped because they blew a couple of things. But yeah, it was really, really nice. And I recommend staycations to people who are as busy as we are.
Maria and I's first 10 years, it was all about the staycations.
I love a good staycation.
And again, that's why when I see the millennials, we were talking about this over coffee, who think that they're entitled to this rock star life. You know, Marie and I, our fun night out used to be, we'd call Taco Bell Fridays. We'd go to the Taco Bell Pizza Hut, and we would get, like, the pizza sticks on
I
the side.
That.
And we were like, and we were so happy. You know, we had nothing. We made nothing. We lived in a pretty definitely a not safe area, but that was our thing. And then we had the little dogs, still with us, knock on wood. And the staycation, we used to call it the Carney Vacation, because I told them the Carney business. You'd work like say 18 days in a row, 25, 30 hours a day. So you were so banged up, cut, scraped, sore, just like wrestling. And you might get a day or two. I didn't leave my bed. You know what I mean? Like I was in bed. I'd oversleep as much as I could, order pizza, watch movies, or we'd go to the movie theater and me and the other guys, and we'd watch like 3, we all wanted to be in Hollywood. So we'd watch like, 3 movies in a row, but that was
everyone in the Carney business wanted to be.
Well, they followed me.
Oh,
they're like, is that where you're going? Yeah, do you really think there's something out there? I'm like, yeah. So, but there were, that's what we did. And so I taught Maria that. So we would for years do the Carney vacation where it was just, you know what? Why do we need to go anywhere? Like, we're here. Like, you know what? Like, we can put on music, we can put on our favorite shows, we can cook. We could do all sorts of things.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome.
And yeah, and then you're rested, and you're not.
Yeah, you didn't have to travel somewhere for 12 hours.
Because the average civilian spends a ton of money, then travels, then parties, then they're more broke and more exhausted.
Yeah.
To go back to their job, and then they hate all the wrong things.
And traveling.
I hate my boss. I hate my job. I'm tired because this stupid job. No, dumbass, because you just went and spent $6,000 and drank 7 nights in a row.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's cool if you want to see the world. Traveling's great, and I would love to do that
at
some point.
Absolutely. No, yeah. And listen, but everything comes in time.
Yeah.
You know, I was blessed to have this neighbor at our old house, and she, Margie, and I think I told the story before, but I was like, oh, and I'm putting a spa here, and I'm building, you know, I'm a builder. I'm not a builder, but I'm like handy. So I'm like, I'm making this, and I'm making that, and I said, Margie, what's the matter? Because, you know, she was like a second mom to Maria and I, her and Al, her husband. And she said, oh, I don't want to say, me and Al, we talk about you kids a lot. And I said, no, I want to hear. I value what you have to say. She's like, you know, we just see you guys doing so many things that we're only doing at our age now, in our 50s. And we're wondering, you know, what's going to be there for you guys to look forward to? She's like, so just, it's okay. Leave some stuff for later. And I never forgot that. And when I look at Rox, how you're raised by your dad, I think he's doing an amazing job with you. Because you don't have the brand new Mercedes or the brand new BMW all through college, right? You know what I mean? Like you had a used car. It was a Mercedes, but it was used. It was banged up. And then, you know, he made you literally drive that thing into the ground. And then, you know, he got you your new car, which, again, is...
I love it.
A mid-level car, and you love it.
Yeah, my Volkswagen.
And where you could be, you have the means to be like some of your friends that you mentioned from the engagement parties and the weddings to be living this like incredible 4-star life. You're not. And therefore, you're so appreciative still of, oh my God, we're going to stay in and watch movies at this hotel or whatever it is, you know? So. Yeah, you got to leave stuff. It's like, it's not, I'm not anti-travel. I love traveling and I love seeing the world. And there's ways to be creative, to find ways to travel for an inexpensive amount of money. I'm all for all that stuff. But, you know, just let it be later in life. I see people who get it too fast and they're so unhappy.
Yeah.
They're miserable people and they don't even know it. They don't even know they're miserable.
I was thinking about that when looking for a new place. A lot of people like have been asking me, oh, what are your priorities? You know, do you want a pool? Do you want a good view? And I'm like, no, I want a washer dryer machine so I can do my clothes. Like, I want a dishwasher so that it can be more convenient so I can put it in and run out the door. Things that make my life easier, not things that are like fun and pretty. Although that's nice. And when I have more money and more time.
You want clean and safe.
Yeah, clean, safe.
Clean and easy. Safe. You know, yeah.
Yeah.
It'll all, I mean, like, listen, it will all come. Friday was, it was a long week for us.
Really?
Yeah, we had some layoffs we had to do.
Oh, I'm part of us.
Yes.
It was a long week
Roxy
for us.
Roxy did not get laid off.
I did not.
As you can
Here I
see.
Am.
But that wasn't, that was.
That was tough.
That was tough.
I was so impressed with you, Kevin. I could not stop talking about it to Ben. Because, honestly, the way that you speak to people, like, I think that you're just very direct, but you have this way of making people feel comfortable and you're honest. And I feel like instead of beating around the bush or you know, lying to people about why you're doing something, when you're just straightforward like that, it was just super impressive. I don't know how to explain it better than that, but it was interesting to watch you work.
It wasn't easy.
Of course not.
But I think, you know, when you're in that position, it still comes down to education. Educating the other side on this is what's going on. And then, you know, the same mentality that brought them here was rooting for them. So still rooting for them out the door, which is like, okay, let's get your resume. Let's get your cover letter. I want you to work on that. Get it back to me. And then what other ideas, each and every one of them we worked on, and what calls do we make to place you in your next thing? And then, you know, what else do we do? And, you know, it was great because every one of them was like, wait, but I'm still hosting an AfterBuzz. I'm still part of the team, right? I'm like, yeah, of course.
Just to be more clear, because I know it's not a lot of details, and I know you can't go into much. So we're talking about AfterBuzz for our audience?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't think it's important, though. I'd rather not have said.
Just questions. I think one of the reasons he's asking is questions in the chat are if we laid off Ashley, which we did not. She's just not here right now.
No, we didn't lay off Ashley.
Just for the people in the chat.
No, sorry. Thank you. Okay. No. Ashley's with her parents. Her parents are in town.
Yeah, so I think she's in Santa Barbara.
I was telling her to take advantage of that because speaking of someone who hasn't had a set of parents in 30 years, I will tell you that it's just nice. So, you know, I said, go be a little kid with them. Go stay in their hotel room with them and do all that stuff because
this is the first time her dad's
less and
come
less.
Out. She's lived here for 5 years. It's the first time he's come out. So that's
it's
great.
Big. And those are these are precious moments that you're not going to have, you know, with them.
Yeah. They went to Universal, I think.
Yeah, they're doing like all the civilian things. Shit, I go, do it all. Take them everywhere.
Awesome.
Yeah, no. So, no, Ashley was not laid off. She's still with us. But yeah, you just have to just continue that same mentality, you know? So, but it was not easy.
No.
It
was interesting. It shows just what an incredible environment you've created to watch how people reacted. Because I feel like there's no other place where that happens. People don't throw a fit. And everybody walking out was like, whatever you need, call me in the future.
Yeah.
Love to help out. Can't wait to still be a part of this. Just really wanted to be there. And it was so, I keep saying cool and sound like a little kid, but it was just really cool to watch and know that you fostered that kind of environment. I've never seen that before from you, Kev. Not the environment, but just usually I'm in like meetings with you where you're being creative or giving ideas. And this was a hard meeting, you know, where you don't get to use the part of you that you love. You've got to let people, you know, give them bad news. And it was a whole different side of you.
Well, I always say I wouldn't be a good peacetime commander, but a wartime commander that's where I always come out my best. And right now, with Maria and taking a long recovery, we really have to simplify our lives. We have to streamline things, and you know, you look over your assets. What do you have? And then, you know, you build from there. So you know, okay, what is the the bare minimum, what we have, and what's our mission state for the company, and then how do we answer that mission statement best under the situation we're in, and I think that's just part of leadership, you know. Peacetime commander, no, we're all on spring break drinking, and I'm running $100,000 in credit card bills, but
something to be said about that.
Wartime, no, I always say I'd go against anybody when it's all on the line because you know, again, it goes back to the carny business just too many times of how do we get out? How do we get home? How do we get out of this? How do we avoid not being jumped? How do we, you know, so, and then Hollywood, God, such a rough city, but, it certainly prepared me. So funny, crazy people in coffee shops. What do you do?
What the f do you do?
So there's a lady today, a girl today who, we have a Fat Sal's that opened up. It's this really cool sub shop with like, yeah, it's really decadent. And
when we leave here at 1 a.m, it's
bumping,
popping, like hottest cracking. Club in town.
Yeah.
Cooler than Freeze.
It's the only thing open. In
well, I don't go to Freeze anymore.
213. 213. I just didn't want to give them it.
Oh,
I
shit. Feel like you're right. Everyone's going to now go to 213. But yeah, well, so there was a girl running around. I went to Fats, took Maria to Fat Sal's quickly to get our food to hole up for Game of Thrones and Spouse House and all our high-low programming that this household is famous for. And there's a lady, girl, that was crazy. She's
legit crazy.
Yeah, going up. She's a young girl, too. She couldn't have been mid-20s, but she's looking in the mirror, the window, and she's humping the window to the guys. Then she's taking swings at little babies and carriages walking by. I mean, really just, and you know, Sean, you'd appreciate this. I just kept saying, see, Maria, this is where, oh, look at, I love that picture. This is where you need Shawn Michaels for the super kick. See, look at this picture they gave us. Look at it. Shawn Michaels gave him the super kick down. You know, he was up to no good in there. And he just had to get the, you know, and Maria was like, yeah, that would. And I showed her the video. She goes, oh, yeah, Shawn's super kick would be perfect. Yeah, because then you hit him right on the chin. And then for effect, Shawn, I would stomp my foot a little bit, right? Then deliver the super kick, and they just go to sleep.
Yeah.
It's better than chicken wing because that's too violent. You're ripping the arm out. You need something to put them out.
Plus, you don't want to be touching somebody that much. Yes, that you don't even know, and they're fucking dirty.
And even
and shit.
That's what I'm saying. Even the Chief J sleeper, you had to get too close, and then it's too much time.
Yeah.
So as they're being put out, you never know if they start lifting the hand and hulking up on you. I can't have that. That no one that you'd get the super kick on him, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know? See, look at that. See, rocks. Boom. That's what I wanted to do to her. But she was a female, so of course that wasn't going to happen. But Maria was like you. She was like, we have to do something. She's going to hurt the, you know, like little kids, and she's swinging at people. And I'm like, Maria, if it was a guy, we could do something. If you're really in trouble. And so then she shows up at the coffee shop with Roxy and I. And I said, Rox, do not make
eye contact.
I was teaching you how to deal with the crazies.
Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised. I thought you would know how to deal with them.
I thought when we first saw her, she was outside talking to somebody. And I thought you were making a Kevin joke.
No.
And that she was just like, you know, one of the, but I didn't realize the severity of the situation.
I've always had a spider sense. I think, Sean, you'd appreciate this. I've had a sense when someone's going to punch me in the face. I've always known that energy. And I've known to step to the other side of the street, or someone even walking down a bar. And I'm like, I moved my chair. And so people are like, what are you doing? I'm like, that guy wants to hit me. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Sure enough, later, no, he smashed someone right in the face. I'm like, I just know his energy. He's looking. So I always know. And so I say, Rox, don't make eye contact because they're looking for that.
Yeah.
And you can say mental illness and drugs and stuff. And some of it is true, but a lot of it's extreme narcissism. And they're mad because they got fucked. So now they want to mess with you. So just don't. And then even when you laughed after she was done
okay,
with
so,
you.
So we didn't make eye contact, but she came
still
over came to us anyway.
Anyway. Right.
And I'm sitting there with my iPhone on the table, which, by the way, is just like a 6 or something. And my purse, which is a fine purse. And she comes over and she starts like touching my water cup and is like.
God, we both
like,
froze.
She starts touching my water cup and she's like, I like your purse. I have a more expensive one, 3 times more expensive. And I was like, oh. And I like, because Kevin told me not to look at her.
Don't.
So I won't look at her. So I'm like trying to respond. But she's like really, literally
well,
a centimeter. No,
you can
me.
Do like the, when they're there. Now, if you don't look at them, then they get mad.
Yeah, she was getting
You're
mad. I wouldn't look
them.
At her. And I didn't
so you
know.
Just do that. You do that smile with
so
the
I,
nod.
I was smiling, nodding, but trying to, like, didn't know where to look.
But they're dying for you to say fuck you, get away
I
from
I just
me.
Think yeah. it's amazing that she had the instinct to touch her water bottle, too, because that's, like, the thing you're weirdest about.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So she went right for your jugular.
Immediately, like, mm-hmm. when I saw her go for the water, I was
well, because most of them know what they're doing.
Right.
You know, like, so then, that's what bothers me.
Then they're she's like, really I like your, right. she's like, I like your iPhone. I have a better one. Mine's more expensive. And I was like, oh, okay. And then she was like, is this your husband?
To
and,
me.
And I just was like, yes, it is.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely.
Yes, Raylan, she knew to go for the money.
She was like, so you're married? And I was like, yeah.
Yep.
And then she started talking
to my
about
husband.
Masturbating to us? What did she say?
Something about
I'm going to
jerk off to you guys and think about sex.
She didn't yeah. tell you she had a husband that's better looking
and
than
we
him.
And no. we hung on no. long enough that she got bored and yeah. then walked away and messed with another.
But when she walked away, I started kind of like nervously laughing. And Kevin was like, don't you fucking laugh right now.
I said, keep nodding as though I'm giving orders. Like in Wrath of Khan, yeah. Kirk just said, because he knew Khan was trying to see what their reaction was. No, just yeah. keep nodding as though I'm giving orders. And he's like,
yeah.
pull up the code to Reliance.
And then she went back to the guy she had been talking to before.
And then we got her out. Yeah, you just, you don't make eye contact. You stay clear because it's a losing scenario. And then I told you, which you have to be careful of, you were like, well, I'm a girl. I fight her. And I said,
well, because you said you couldn't hit her. And I was
I
like,
can't
well,
hit
I
her.
Could.
Yeah, but then, but now you learn the lesson I learned the hard way in the carny business in the 90s. I think I told the story before. I got in a wild fist fight with a couple of them. And I'm like all out of breath. And my knuckles are all cut. And I'm bleeding. And Billy Bono, like the one of the guys I knew, you know, pulled me aside and said, are you soft? And I'm like, well, they did this. They tried to steal our money. And he's like, they have AIDS. I'm like, what? He's like, half these guys out here. He's like, are you crazy? You just cut your. And then
exactly.
And he would say, and then my brother would tell me as a policeman, a lot of the ones who did have AIDS and knew it would purposely try to spit in the cops' eyes. Or they would try to, or they had Hep C, or they would try to flick blood in the cop's eyes and things like that. So you like go, oh boy. So I learned like that. And by the way, Sean, to bring it back to wrestling, that's when I became obsessed with Mr. Backlund and the chicken wing. Because I'm like, I can throw that on somebody and not draw blood. And yeah. That's perfect.
I escorted a few guys out of a club I worked at.
With
using that. Yeah.
Using the chicken wing.
Yeah.
But you didn't learn it from Bob. You learned
yeah,
it
learned
from training, right?
Yeah.
Like legit training.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at that. And then when he clamps the legs on, forget it. Once he gets the legs on.
That's not the real chicken wing.
No? What's the real chicken wing? When he connects the, right? Yeah, you got to connect. Well, he does, you know, Bob would say when he would advertise it, he promoted, he would do the real thing. But for effect, he did the moving of the neck and the, yeah.
Question, when you guys were in the coffee shop, were you wearing these outfits?
Yes, I
do
was.
Do you think that had something to do?
She did touch my Tomorrow Show symbol.
A Tomorrow
she,
Show? Tomorrow
she,
Show? What's
she
that?
She poked it, said the Tomorrow Show. And
great advertisement,
I
honestly.
I was just like, uh-huh. Like usually I'm like, oh, the Tomorrow Show, go to thetomorrowshow.com. I was just like, yeah, uh-huh, that's it. But Kevin, this is a weird thing.
It makes me never want to leave campus.
I said to you, mm-hmm. I was like, why aren't the people at the shop doing anything?
Oh, yeah. And then I had to explain to you.
Everybody.
And then I had to explain.
But where am I from? I'm from Boston. If somebody comes in who's like homeless or harassing people, you call the cops and they come and get them out of there.
So I'm glad you brought that up. This is Los Angeles people. Okay. Southern California. Which means maybe if it's a murder, they'll get involved. Other than that.
Why? I've never even heard of that.
Because there's too many people, not enough policemen, and they're just completely desensitized, and there's just not that same of tradition. And, you know, so when I had a bunch of assholes, when we lived in our apartment, they were jealous Maria got the job at ET, and we were moving out. And the night before, they vandalized my car. And I remember the three of them, because I caught them red-handed. So three of them got out, and they got around me, but they were pussies. Like, they weren't fighters, Sean, so I don't want to make it look like I'm some big hero. And they were stupid, because all their jaws were exposed. And I was like, okay. Like, I felt literally like the Terminator, like, with a computer game in my brain, where I'm like, okay, he's getting a left cross, he's getting a headbutt, he's getting an elbow, and then I'm going back to the first. I'm like, I had it all down. And I was like, you know, I was at that moment in my life where I'm like, I got to start changing. This was in my early 30s where I'd made bad decisions. And I'm like, you know, part of it was committing to Maria. And then the other part was not taking revenge on anybody ever again. And I haven't. And then it was like, okay, well, how would I have handled this in the past? I would just, you know.
Beat the fuck out of him.
I would just fight, you know, boxing guy, right? But I was like, I'm not going to do that. You know what? I'm not.
And that would have been fine too, Kev.
If they had it coming.
Yeah.
They still have it coming, by the way. But I said, you know what? No. This is ridiculous. Like, you're drunk. You're in my, and it was an antique car too. It was like Marie and I's, like, we had worked on it together. It was our first car. We still have it.
It's not the.
The Corvair.
Corvair.
Yeah. Still with us. And one of the reasons why I keep it, I can't, it's a, God, I just want to turn it into a planter at this point. I can't stand the car, but it's tradition. We've had it for so long. It was our first car. So they, I called the policeman. So the cops came. And I'm like, yeah, he was in the car. Maria's like, yeah, we pulled up. These guys, they jumped out, and they even admitted it. And here's the damaged cars. And the cops go, mm-hmm, and they turn around and look at me. What did you do to make them do that?
Ugh.
I said, really? I said, officer, I'm sorry. My brother's a policeman. I said, I'm just kind of stunned. I go, we're just a hardworking, honest couple. You've got three guys here, and then they have two other or three other guy roommates. And they're drunk, and they're all ready to go against me. And that's your reaction? I'm like, forget it. I'll fix the car on my own. And I did. But that was just because that's L.A. You know, like, they don't. It's
they
just
don't.
They have too much shit going on here. Now, if that were Boston, it would have been like, you kids go back to bed. And they would back in the 80s, they would have taken them down and beat the fuck out of them and not arrested them. They would have just put them in custody. And then they'd let them go the next day. But you'd have the bruises, but you wouldn't press charges because no one did back then. And you were excited you didn't get prosecuted for the fucking felony to be, you know, a cherried out antique car that you're destroying. But today's Boston, at the very least, they would have gotten the, okay, you're going to fix this car, and we're going to follow up with you tomorrow. And if you don't, we're going to make your life a living hell. You would have gotten something. Like, because I just, you know, I know from my friends who are cops back there. But out here, and it's not their fault. It's just too much. Too many people, too much crime, too much illegal stuff. So you can get away with whatever you want. If you're a criminal, come to L.A. Great place.
I was wondering.
Great place.
I think I just left here, and it was a little later than that. I was at Ralph's. It was late night, not that far from closing time. And there's a crazy lady, maybe the same one you're talking about.
Why are you pointing to me when you said crazy lady?
Well, because you just had
because you just dealt with it.
Okay.
And she pissed on the floor in Ralph's in front of the cops,
yep.
And she didn't go to jail.
Nothing. No.
That's not a fucking exaggerated story.
That's
either.
That's it.
Like, she pulled her pants.
I saw
down
the piss on the fucking floor.
Yeah, pants down or on?
No, not pants.
You guys,
down.
We live in a nice neighborhood, and listen. You just know because you hear our guests all live around the frigging corner. Okay, so just I'll take myself out of the equation. And when I tell you, there's just like random bums who will be setting up a tent in a shop.
That's right down the
like,
street.
Yes, I mean, I'm like, and running naked in the street, flagging down cars, and I'm just like, I'm like, this would not. My hometown of Winchester, which, you know, we moved to after Medford, it's a pretty like wealthy community. Medford would never have it, but Winchester never. And I'm just like, only out here.
This
and they're like, no, all they can do is. They get them to move, and they move for a day, and then they come back, and it's just.
There's a half a dozen, you know, unfortunate folks like that on Ventura Boulevard.
All over it.
Park
well,
camped out right there.
My problem with the L.A. homeless versus the Boston homeless is when you're homeless in Boston and it's below zero, fucking amen, I'm buying you that drink.
Yeah.
You're a fucking warrior. No, you really are like, you know, you've made your decision, but the. Homeless out here, at some point, it was a lifestyle choice. It's like, why bother getting a job? I can shower down at the beach if I want to, you know, with the showers down there. I can get away with it. I can have a cardboard sign saying, give me money. I mean, who was with me? Was it you, Rox, or was it Ashley?
No,
we
it was
saw
me in the nice shoes and this coffee.
Oh, this guy, he rolled in. He rolled in a bag with a sign. His sign about give me money for instead of work or work and money, whatever it was. But he had the nicest shoes, the most amazing outfit. And I'm like, okay, I want a Shawn Michaels super kick.
And he's buying coffee at Coffee Bean.
Like, when I see the person with no legs, when I see like the, okay, I'm in.
But those aren't the people who are usually asking for money, Kev.
No.
That's how you can tell. In Burbank, everybody who's homeless is dressed nicer than I am most of the time. So I don't know what they're doing.
And again, because I think here you can, but it's a lifestyle choice. Now, at some point, so many drugs are being taken that their mind does leave at some point. So I see those ones. I can tell they've just been doing drugs since the 60s or the 70s. But
it's that was her today? Or you don't think she's old enough?
I don't know. No, I don't know. I just know she knew she was messing with people. She knew what she was doing to
she
a degree.
She had like eyeshadow on and mascara and bronzer.
I don't know enough
like,
to know about the you know, the voices in their head and the things.
The weird,
I don't
crazy,
know, but
the crazy kooks when the cops show up. Usually,
I need more brosé.
They all of a sudden become normal, sane people when the cops show up.
That's right, all the time.
Or when they're about ready to get their fucking ass whipped.
Yeah, that's right. Then it's just like it's all good.
Yeah,
that is wild to me.
I love this sound effect. Isn't that great?
Kev, do you have a bottle?
I get excited. Yeah, I'm good. Every time I even see like the old shows in the 70s, I hear the kink, kink, kink of the ice cubes and the pour. Just makes everything better. No, you just listen. If you have to leave campus, I say it to Maria all the time because Maria's like, she's like you, Rox. Like she gets involved. Like don't, you know, Newman and the Soup Nazi. Just don't, you know. Who recently? I think it was Jimmy Norton was talking about on Sam and Jim's show. He was talking about fighting with the Uber driver. No. It's Newman and the Soup Nazi. Every time you just walk in, like you can only lose. You're not going to beat the guy making 10 bucks an hour selling coffee or driving the Uber. You're not going to win. Just sit in the back seat. Look at Newman. Watch this. Here we go.
Just like that. The city.
Of course, Kramer. Look at, here we go. There's me, Michael. One jambalaya. Look at the body language, the posture. Look at how respectful.
It's like a robot.
That's right. So, and even his smile to Kramer, he doesn't.
She's very emotional. Thank you.
Amazing. And he's out. That's it.
So I want to get your opinion.
That's how you deal with people. Waiters, because today's America, they're spitting in your food. They all win. Newman and the Soup Nazi.
Oh, yeah. What's the name of that fucking movie where they put the pubes in the food?
Oh, God. Waiting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
ugh. What were you
going to
say, Mike?
Ugh.
So my question is, what makes Kramer different that he can do that? Is it because he's a different level of crazy?
Okay. No. No, he's not crazy at all. I came to this realization, Sean. I think you'll appreciate it. With Ian Kaiser Sose, the contributor to the Tomorrow Show part-time. But I said most men aspire to the Kramer life. Like, never has to have a job, gets up every day, and every day is nonsense. Every day is, hey, today I'm going to invent this. Oh, I'm going to make, you know what's going to work in my apartment really good? Levels. You know what I mean? So for him, he's just so innocent that he's into everybody's nonsense. He's everybody's friend because he's not a threat at all. You know, like, so, and that's the life. I swear. I think if Marie and I ever get divorced, she's going to get off so easy because our settlement will be just that. Just the stipend to budget out so I can just be Kramer. You know what I mean? Just an
door.
Apartment. Yeah.
Screen door on the apartment door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because the life is just, it's just nonsense. It's just every day is, and he's in on everything. You know, when like, I don't know, Ray Lynn says, I want to be Miss America. I'm in. I'm going to manage you. We're going to go to the top, baby. Like, or if someone goes, I want to be in the circus. Oh, great idea. Let's do it. But that to me, like, when I think of everybody's life, I used to think it was being Jerry on that show. That's cool. You dated hot chicks and, you know, he had a pretty easy life too. But Kramer to me, just a nice lifestyle. All just, you know, always in on Chinese food or getting a pizza. Yeah. Like, he just was always available for fun.
The only one that wasn't a dick. He's different.
That's what I mean. Yeah, you're right. No, he just was happy and, and I think that's why. But that's why the Uber driver would love Kramer. The miserable. I get in trouble. There was a guy at the phone store that was a soup Nazi. Oh my God. He was like, he had a name tag that said Armed Forces or veteran. And I'm like, oh my God, so much respect for you. Thank you for, you know, whatever you did for our country. He's like, Marines. I'm like, oh, whoa, God. You know, and usually when you meet a Marine, Marines like get shit done. You know, and I remember talking to Marines, helping, we were working with them to help facilitate a lot of injured Marines, disabled Marines, getting them into show business. In fact, I'd love to even talk to them. I got to get back in touch with those people because I can even do more for them now. But at the time, we were helping them make the adjustment. And the one thing they said was like, listen, to all your producer friends, your at the end of the day, one of our guys, whether they're missing both their legs or they're blind or whatever, you're getting a Marine.
Yeah.
We get it done. Like, who are you going to hire? You know, some fucking entitled millennial pussy or a fucking Marine? You're going to hire a Marine. So I said to this guy, I'm like, wow, you're Marine. So... But wait, he didn't seem very Marine-like. Very negative.
What do you mean? Oh, just an attitude?
Just a not a get shit done kind of guy. Miserable, cutting corners, negative, dark. It just didn't seem that Marine spirit.
Young guy or old guy, Kev?
Probably like 40.
Really?
Yeah. Well, as I got the story, he was like, well.
Discharged?
He was like, well, I wanted to. And then the more he talked, I'm like, wait, you don't seem very Marine-like. Again, you don't even seem tough. So he's like, well, someone I cared for very much was dying. And they told me I would be released if the person died to go to the funeral. And basically I took my M16 and said, I'm going to kill all of you. And so then they let me out. So let's talk about your phones. I'm like, okay. And then I went into Kramer. You know, we went right into like social media and how we're getting fucked and how the man sucks and how this one sucks and friends from high school suck. And oh, yeah, I was Kramer. I was his boy. And I just got the hell out of Dodge. I'm like, oh, wow.
I wonder if he uses that on everyone he first meets.
No, I wore him down, Sean, because I happened to be there for a long time because I had so many phones. And again, I'm simplifying our life. So I'm opening up the hood for a lot of different things. And I was just like, yep, he was the phone Nazi. But they're all out there.
The worst these days.
But then when I see the ones that are positive, I always either tip them, compliment them, or hire them.
The worst soup Nazis these days are the airline people.
Worst.
The flight attendants.
Worst. Same thing.
Shit.
All right, but I have
don't
a
make eye
with
contact.
This.
Same thing.
Fucking brutal.
Oh, but
we're as bad as they are these days. I feel like because everybody knows the airlines suck, we suck harder. So that you're
exactly.
Just like, but
no.
It was the airline.
We?
Yeah. Yes, everybody sucks. You're right. Not we. Because I just go in.
I mean,
I take my window seat. I purposely get all my urine out of my body. So I'm in there and I'm done. Please. Like, I'm not, you know, I won't bother you. I won't. I promise. Like, I'm out. If there's a terrorist, let me know. I will try to kill them. Other than that.
I'm sorry, Rox, but fuck them. They fucking rip us off so bad.
Sean, I'm not saying they don't, but okay. So for the last flight I'm on, I was actually, since I flew with Kevin, this is the first time I had flown.
Our first flight together, so romantic.
It
we
was.
Still have to have our anniversary of
Very
it.
Very true. But I was flying first class, and they had upgraded me for free because I have enough miles on Virgin. So I get on the plane, and then there ends up being weather issues, so we have to deboard the plane. And it was only first class that had boarded, nobody else in the plane.
Okay.
So we deboard. Right. An hour later, they call us back. We board the plane. There's weather issues. We have to deboard again.
Mm-hmm.
And the flight attendant gets on, and it's literally, there's 15 people on the plane. And they say, we're so sorry. There's weather. There was nothing we could have done. And people start being like, are you fucking kidding me, you fucking morons? How could you do this?
Yeah,
why would you bring us on the plane?
Just
because
the barbarian,
they control
I mean,
the
they
weather?
Right. I mean, again, I know. Everyone, this.
It's airport road. It's like road rage, except for there.
It is our culture of entitlement. It's our culture of just. Ugh, we always have to blame everything and everyone. Well, what do I tell you guys? Part of the landscape, part of the solution, part of the problem. People just go into three categories. So part of the solution says, you know, when
I've actually
that kid,
never heard you say that.
No?
No, I
we
like
were talking
that,
about
though.
The other day. I think it was like two or three of us talking about it.
Yeah, it's everyone goes into three categories. Part of the solution, part of the problem, part of the landscape.
That's like bystander, bully,
yes,
victim.
The problem is, and this is, you see me how adamant I am, the thing is, it only takes one person to be part of the problem to get the people who are part of the landscape with them and bring something down. That's why whether you're doing a podcast, a business, a pizza shop, anything, you really just want, first of all, if you can get part of the solution, that's great, but that is a 10% or 5% or less mentality. Most people are part of the landscape, and that's fine. But you got to be able to suss out who's part of the problem and not have them in there. But again, these are your businesses and these are your personal lives that you have choices over. When you go to an airport, you don't have that choice, which is why people like to fly private and all that other stuff so they don't have to deal with it. You know, I'm good. I mean, my whole thing with the airport is just get me to my seat. Once in my seat, like I said, I lock off there and I'm good. But getting there is where I'm going to take all the shots from security and from this one and that one, every person seizing their crumb of power.
Well, I think it also it allows us to stand out. Like, if you're really nice, then it stands out. Because I've had that situation where you can tell people having a really crappy day. And you treat them with a little bit of respect, and they're like, oh, so you're a normal person.
Right.
And it can get you ahead.
And the greats do that when the people are shitty. They still keep it, you know, that their chin up. And that, I don't know if I can do that either, but God, it's SummerSlam is funny. Sam called me from SummerSlam on Saturday when he was down at NXT. And he was like, Kev, 5 of your kids are here today. So it was Sam, Kathy Kelly, Daria, who's now Sonya Deville.
Yeah, I had a nice talk with her.
Oh, I want to hear. I do want to hear. And then who else was down there that I know? Oh, and Christy St. Cloud.
Yeah.
And then Thea Trinidad, who's now Zelina Vegas.
Yeah.
Is that it?
How do you know her?
Oh, my God. Thea's been with us forever.
Oh, come on. Really?
Yeah. She's one of the team.
She's my really good friend. She's a girlfriend.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
She's been on DC Movie
and
News.
Like, yeah.
She's
and like multi-talented and, you know, I'm humble. And it's another one who's grinded.
She's playing the role of CM Punk's girlfriend.
The AJ role.
Yeah, AJ role.
I know her.
I was the one that gave her she was playing her in the movie that Rock's making, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So they shot the scene at the Staples Center in front of the live crowd, and it was a fairly it wasn't just an easy scene dialogue wise, and she killed it. She nailed it. First take with all the mannerisms.
No, she's unbelievable.
Everything.
And I think because she's had, for a young girl, a longer road, maybe because of her size and maybe because whatever reason, like the WWE really was slow. She just kept coming and coming and, and traveling and grinding and training and even got her body in like unbelievable shape. And so it's great that it's finally happening for her. I'm really excited.
It's a bummer though that her boy, like, you know, her boyfriend, fiance left, you know, Austin Aries.
Austin's not there anymore?
No. No.
Why? He was so over, right?
He's great. I'm a huge fan of his. It just didn't work out. There was a lot of somebody didn't feel it.
Well,
it's too bad because they're loss on that.
And he was over. Yeah.
Yes.
I remember him walking into the Hall of Fame without, you know, when everyone just kind of walks in with not being announced, and everybody was Austin Aries.
And here's the thing with him: he's one of these people that knows his value. They can't. Whatever they do to try to make, you know, when I say they, it doesn't matter what company, it doesn't work for him. It doesn't work on him. It doesn't, like, you know, he knows what he's worth, and he wasn't going to stay there and not be utilized properly. That's just the way it, you know,
right.
It wasn't going to work.
Well, you don't want a guy like that there. True. And I'm glad though that she's surviving without him.
I hope so.
I like that. You know, that she's, Yeah, I think she will because of her. You know, she's just got her great spirit. What did Sonya Deville say to you when you talked to her?
Oh, well, she just, you know, came up and was talking about AfterBuzz and how much she loved everyone and, you know, how she's an AfterBuzzer.
Those special kids.
Yeah. And so she asked me about, you know, if I watched her match, and I did. And so
What'd you think?
I told her a few things. She's very good. Yeah. She's going to be excellent.
Right. Do you? I know Mark Donica, who does your show, he thinks in a year, year and a half, he was predicting NXT belt. What do you think?
Yeah, I didn't know they had a ladies' belt, do they? Yeah, they do. Asuka has it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. I totally could.
God, I hate throwing that stuff out there because you know you don't want to jinx them. You know what I mean? Like,
actually, it might be planting the seed. Who knows?
I just think that with MMA so big, and she has true MMA roots,
yeah.
I think it just gives them a different, you know, I was saying to her, the greats in the division now stand out to me in a way that I know their name and I know their character. But then beyond that, six or seven of them, maybe, they all look a little bit the same to me, Sean.
Yeah.
But she doesn't. And that's why I think her attitude, her look, her voice, her gimmick, I think really makes her separate, and that's cool.
That's right. And she's doing, and she's keeping her stuff separate and different from, you know,
I love
from
it.
The average, you know, from the other ladies that are in there. You know, she has to when you're right. Emmett, when you're
she's just got the greatest spirit.
When your image, you know,
when did they start calling her that, Kev?
I don't know. Like, I think she got this a few months ago. They named her like
even after she was.
Yeah, they want to create their name, so they own it. I had heard that Triple H wanted to call her, and I didn't hear this from her, by the way, so I don't want to get her in trouble, but I had heard from insiders that they wanted to call her NJ DeVille as a New Jersey Devil, or Triple H did, which I like better than Sonya. But then
too.
The powers that be wanted Sonya. But Sonya's not an attractive name, whereas NJ's just cool.
NJ's really cool.
You know, I think that was the better name.
So do you think she had any say in that? Sean?
Here's what their say is usually. Actually, you know what? A lot of times they pick and they'll come up with different things and then they'll give it, you know, to somebody and they'll say, okay, and then they'll give you a list back and you pick
something.
So like
they handed this to Daria. She could have been like, no, no, yes, no.
Well, she probably contributed, you know, with the coming up with the names process, but you know, they're the ones that, you know, have the final say on that, obviously.
Kathy Kelly just continues to just look more and more amazing and stunning and just, you
she's
know,
literally dropped dead gorgeous.
Crushing. My oldest daughter.
I talked to her a good amount, actually.
Do you?
Yeah.
Her. Good.
I miss her.
They canceled her little show on the network.
They're cutting back on a lot of that, right?
Well,
you know what, Sean? And that's why maybe it's time for us to have a conversation with them for your show because they're realizing that it's not worth it for them. Like a lot of movie studios right now, it's not worth it for them to make the movies. They have the distribution outlets in a lot of the studios, and WWE is the distribution outlet. And it's better to give it to the artists. Let us go do the grunt work and, you know what I mean? Do the grind and deliver for them.
Where they're worried about that is production value-wise. They have, you know,
standards.
High standards, about the highest that you
but
can
I
get.
But I look at the video of your show, it's right up there with the talks they do. In fact, there's more I see on your show than sometimes when they just do. It's literally just a couple of LED lights behind some some of this padding.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I have something to think about. Got another after buzzer, Ebony Williams. Do you have her in the news, Mike?
I see her every day.
I do not.
Hmm. We should probably put her in the news, but so Abby started AfterBuzz. Her and I hosted Boardwalk Empire together. Gorgeous girl, an attorney, super
stunning.
Smart, and one of my better friends.
I have the Variety article pulled up.
And she is killing it on Fox News. And then, you know, like Trump got Stugatz with the...
On the Tuesday thing.
The neo-Nazi thing, and I mean the march and...
Ebony's getting death threats.
Well, then Ebony stood up and said, hey, this is just wrong.
Ebony and this lady, Kat Timpf, both the blonde hair lady, they both kind of got a lot of heat.
And now she's getting a lot of heat. And I'm going to probably see her when I get to New York in another week, and we'll figure it out. But I'm really proud of her.
This will pass.
Of course it will. No, it's only going to make her bigger and stronger.
Yeah,
and she deserves it. She's amazing. She is, in fact, you know what?
She has a new book out.
Ebony does?
Yeah.
Pretty Powerful, Appearance, Substance, and Success.
See, I watch her almost
It's available next month.
Nice. I'm going to see. You know what? I'm going to get her over to WME. Maybe get that game. She's amazing right now. This is a great time for her, and I'm really proud of her. But, you know, do you have any Trump stuff in the news when it comes to this stuff or no?
Not majorly. The only thing I could... was considering putting in there was a Secret Service thing that came out today where they're running out of money 7 months in because of all the family that he has to protect and because of all the trips that he's taken. And
I don't know. I just, you know, going back to, you know, you want to think, okay, both sides are to blame. But I was thinking of it, okay, I was trying to see it from the white power people's side. Okay, I was trying. And I feel like if a group of blacks marched and said, and we're from hate groups that killed a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that that would go over like they think it would. I think the minority groups that march that want more rights, they want equality, they want fair treatment. But when you're going out and the groups that are behind you are brands like Nazi, neo-Nazi, KKK, with ugliest of ugliest in modern history. You don't get really any uglier than those two groups.
You can't be walking next to those people and try to claim moral high ground.
Right, Jeff. And so how does anyone say, well, you know, you're both wrong in this. You know, like, there are just times in life where it's just like, you know what? No, you actually are the bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you are wrong. And this is the right side, and this is the wrong side. But to say, like, oh, everybody on both sides, it's like...
It's tough because it's like there's like the 2 or 3%, and then they're getting 100% of the publicity.
Well,
and that's what's just...
Right, and also, remember...
the right side?
Remember, the dark negative people are always the loudest. So, again, so if one person... you know, it's known in business. You do something nice for somebody, they'll tell one person. Do something bad, they'll tell 10. It's just like... It's just... Darkness is, negativity is more exciting. It's more, you know, it's louder. It's brighter.
Please tell me you saw that fucking douchebag, Christopher Cantwell, that was talking all that shit on Vice News and fucking Trump giving his daughter to a Jew and all this. That fucking guy right there. And then he's crying like a baby.
Sorry.
God, it's one of the greatest fucking things I've ever
what?
Seen.
Did he get fucked?
Oh, my God.
Why?
You should see it, and he sounds like such a fucking pansy, Kev.
So what? He's crying why? Because people are against him now?
No, because he's afraid because the cops are gonna get him, and like he thinks he has an arrest warrant out. Oh my God, he just loses his shit like a pussy.
Yeah, you guys can pull up the video.
It's one of the
American terrorists. Christopher
What's up, Raylan?
Okay, Cupid actually removed his social media account that he had with them on the dating website.
How's he gonna get a date?
They saw this video that guy came out, and they said that we don't tolerate anybody who has this type of mindset, so we removed his account from OKCupid.
American terrorist Christopher Cantwell.
I call him Cantwell.
Cantwell balls his eyes out.
Okay, see, I think he needs chicken wing, not the super kick. I think we got to take his shoulder out of his socket. Let Mr. Backlund have him.
Choke his
I'm not going to get you. Oh, yeah, we can. Who else? What's another good maneuver and another? You need the right person executed, too.
I would just choke him out.
Like, have Cena choke him?
Just knock him.
A Cena choke out, the STFU, whatever it is. That would be nice to see.
He now faces four felony warrants are issued in his name.
For what? What did he do?
Quote, illegal use of gases and injury by caustic agent or explosive.
Spraying fucking pepper spray on people and tear gas.
Hmm. Pepper spraying a guy straight in the face.
What girl wouldn't want that guy?
He's crying. So what's he crying about? Okay, can we get some audio? Raylan likes him. Raylan, you can't date this guy.
I don't like him.
Why? No, she's like, oh my God, doing the BJ sign in there. What are you doing?
No, I'm not.
What?
He's one of the cops who saved my ass when I had to pull my gun in Keen. And I emailed him and I said, I don't know what to do. I need guidance. I want to be peaceful. I want to be law abiding. Okay. That was the whole entire point of this. And I'm watching.
I need guidance too.
Talk about this as violent white nationalist protests. We have done everything in our power to keep this peaceful.
That's right.
I know we talk a lot of shit on the internet, right? But like literally, Jason Kessler applied for a permit like months ago for this, okay? When they yanked our permit, we went to the ACLU and we went to court and we won.
We won.
He's gay.
We've been coordinating with law enforcement.
100%.
And that's what makes him so angry.
Bingo.
Because he's not open about it.
Self-loathing gay.
Yeah.
And they just won't stop.
He's another one. You know? Just take the dick in the ass. Watch the clouds part. The rainbow come in. It'll be beautiful. Just accept your penis in your ass.
By which to
all will be well.
Grievances. And our enemies just will not stop. We've been fucking assaulted. They are threatening us all over the place. Chelsea Manning, this tranny fanatic, has a picture of himself.
Tranny fanatic! Herself,
that's him.
Talking about curb-stomping Nazis with a picture of his boot coming down on somebody.
You just called...
By the way, good wrestling promo!
We are trying to make this peaceful. We are trying to be law-abiding. And our all enemies
right. I'm a fledgling wrestling
stop.
League. I'm taking
what
them.
Options
I'm making him my heel.
If somebody would like to inform me of that, then I will be grateful.
He's a great really wrestling good. Heel. Why don't we... I'm telling you, Sean, like, for a shit organization, get this guy on the mic. Look at him. I could totally see this on a wrestling program.
I guess that's basically it. I don't know what else to say. I'll just say it here. 631-791-5842. If law enforcement wants
can we get him on the phone?
Turn myself in.
Get him on the show.
Yeah, let's call him. Can someone take down that number?
Okay.
But I don't want to hear him again. So maybe hopefully you can hear it there.
Cal,
so we can see if we can call him.
Do you think he goes all the way home with Raylan on the first date or no?
Not a chance. Never.
Has grandma come in and pray?
Whatever.
Yes. No, Raylan, why not?
No. No, he's disgusting.
Oh.
I can't.
All right, we'll keep trying. We'll find somebody.
All right, somebody.
There's got to be someone out there for you.
Somebody else on OkCupid.
Damn it. Just what the hell with the... I mean...
Imagine if you had been, like, chatting with him on OkCupid.
And you
this
see this?
Down. Yeah. I think he's like a normal
I'm
dude.
Telling you, Sean, he's just missing...
The cop.
He's missing, no, the straight interviewer... In the plaid jacket, trying to keep the straight face.
But what do you do with him in wrestling, though? After he cuts such a pussy ass pants.
Yeah, but no, but then no, he does that. But then he does the move where he japs you. Do you know what I mean? Where that's what he does to get your guard down. And then he moves in. And by the way, he's not a wrestler. He's a manager. He's a mouthpiece.
Yeah, for
sure. He's got skull and chains, but the neo-Nazi version.
He's one of those guys that looks like he
He's like the Paul Ellering of the Road Warriors.
If you look at a picture of him, he's kind of
jacked. He's Paul Ellering to the Road Warriors. You know what I mean? Who Paul had the big arms, but he wasn't quite a road. He wasn't like as big as the
Road. Yeah, but Paul had the balls to get in the ring. This guy wouldn't.
That will be the heel move. You know what I mean? He'll hide. But that's going to make us hate him even more. I got to get this guy. No. I got to get him to what? The new AWA? There's probably some AWA out there, right?
You wouldn't have had a hard time convincing Vince Russo with that idea.
Probably not. Probably not.
Did you know he tried to get OJ? He was pitching an OJ thing.
You know
versus
what?
Roddy Piper.
I mean, for what? For TNA?
For fucking WrestleMania 11. Don't you remember when they had that whole thing with Goldust and
yes,
Roddy
and
the white
just
fucking Bronco?
A genius.
It was supposed to be OJ.
Such an underrated moment, by the way. And I thought, it's one of my favorite Piper matches. I thought that was incredible. Yeah. The backlot fight.
Well, it wasn't just because it was supposed to be Razor also.
Yes,
but
yeah.
Then they...
It got, yeah.
Yeah.
But still, that's hilarious. Vince Russo. Yeah. I would have paid to see it. I love this. Goldust trying to kiss him during the match. This was hilarious.
Yeah.
Like Vince
good old
said.
Roddy.
Yeah, Piper had one good one left in him. That's what Vince said after that match. And like he really beat the bag out of Dustin.
Roddy wasn't afraid.
Yeah, you
he
always tell me that.
I knocked the shit out of him.
In the ring?
Oh, yes.
Why?
Oh, my God. That was just the nature of our match. We beat the fuck out of each other.
So,
I was 1-2-3 kid.
Okay, so sometimes, Sean, how come sometimes it's a ballet, you know, where you're doing these great moves, but no one's really getting hurt, and then sometimes it just goes to that?
That's just a different.
Is it the energy of the audience, or is it the opponent? What makes it where it's just like, all right, I'm going to punch you all my might, you're going to punch me all my might, but it's not going to be a real fight, but we're going to give... We're gonna dish.
I've been in a lot easier fucking street fights than that. I promise you that.
Of course,
man.
Because in a street fight,
holy
you can bob
shit.
And weave and defend yourself. You have to take
quick.
It. Well, that's right. A street fight lasts
seconds.
So what? Why is it? So why with Roddy? Why did it go like that? Because I'm not sure if everyone had that kind of match
it
with Roddy.
Just, you know, you get worked up and and he's so intense, and he brings that he brought that realism into the ring with him, you know.
So what did Flair do with him when they wrestled? I mean, like,
Flair wasn't afraid. I knocked the shit out of Flair too, and he never complained.
That's something.
Yeah, I mean, not purposely, but I did whack him with a few good kicks, and he never complained about it. And I know he went around and wrestled a lot of guys that were really stiff, what we call crowbars.
I mean, he just, Rick just seems like he loved it so much.
Yeah. He never complained, man. He never complained.
Never complained. God love him. See, then Bob didn't like that. Backlund. It didn't seem like it. Seemed like he was, he'd dish it out, but it didn't seem like he would dish it out. Like, was he, how was he, Sean? I could hear he was stiff, but was it, no, he wasn't stiff.
It's a different kind of stiff. It's like a lock up with him and you try to move that arm so you can grab a hold stiff. You know what I mean?
And so why wouldn't
he? Oh my God, he just, you know, not that kind of stiff. Not that he just punched me in the eye and gave me a black eye stiff.
Right. He told me some of the stories he wrote about in his book, like Stan Hansen and them would pound him and pound him and pound him, and he, you know, he was able to take it because he did so many sit-ups, you know. But you know, that's what he'd say. But yeah, I never got that. Like, it's really what a rough profession you guys have. And just like you said, just one night.
And it does vary, like you were saying there, because some guys are just more.
Some guys, like the ballet, right? It's just everyone. So who is more ballet? It doesn't draw money.
In my opinion, I think it's good as part of the overall show, but I think that kicks the shit out of somebody, like, approach. That the Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman, you know, Roman Reigns.
Well, that's what Maria loves.
Joe match had.
That's what Maria loves. She's just like, Kevin, it just makes me, it suspends my belief. That's it, right. Makes me go, oh my God, what is going to happen next?
The other stuff is just garnish.
Yeah. Interesting.
A few people in the chat, Sean,
are excited about Spouse House. I know.
That is true. What? But they also are asking if you have any Ric Flair updates for us on how he's doing, if you've talked to anybody.
We hear improving. There was a picture of his hand, but I always get scared when you hear organ failure. It means the body's starting to shut down. That's what they had said, right? Some of the, you know, so I got nervous about that. But I don't know. I feel like every day he hangs on.
Conrad was visiting him the other day.
Okay. And did he say any? Did you see Conrad? Conrad was his co-host of his podcast when he used to do the podcast.
Like, I was communicating with him over a couple of things. And he was like, I'm in visiting Rick right now.
He was really close with Rick. I thought that was legit, their friendship.
Oh, yeah.
Did you not hear that he was getting better? That's what people have been writing.
Yeah, I heard that, but I don't have any, like, you know, any kind of news like
nothing
that
no
anyone
update.
Else has.
Okay. Thanks, Sean.
Yes.
Just the personal manager for Ric Flair tweeted out that, quote, he did cut a promo on a nurse yesterday, so anyone knows Ric Flair knows that's a very, very good sign.
Okay. Man, what a story if he pulls out of this.
He will. I mean, I don't think he's going to be up and, like, do it, you know.
But still, Sean, what is the ovation going to be like when he gets, right?
It's an H.
I mean, like, I'm going to cry. I know. Man. It's like, he's something. Yeah, we did, last night, we watched our Spouse House. We were not able to watch Before the 90 Days, which we'll be watching tonight. There's the alarm. By the way, you guys, that's not the alarm.
What is that?
What Star Trek is this? Guys, come on. That's not it. Where would you get Lair's 47 interface as the alarm? Bonjour, Julia. Come on. That's you. That's not Lauren. I like getting the alarm, but my goodness, we're on the bridge here. This isn't Battlestar Galactica. This isn't Space 1999.
Whoa. With Martin Lando?
Is this it?
No. No, this is not it.
This is the link that you approved.
No.
Original... we're together. We've played this last few episodes.
No, because I let it go. Go to original Star Trek Red Alert. Goodness gracious me, oh my. You don't need to do it now. yeah, we watched The Spouse House, and it's winding down now, Rox.
What?
Well, there's only one going to be like another one or two left.
Oh,
I
thought you meant like it's not as good.
I think it is now. Like, you know, Kelly Jo got married.
Well, yeah,
which
but
was
what's
nice.
Going on with Ashley Lauren?
And Tom?
Yeah.
Well, Ashley Lauren's
Nothing's going on.
Nothing's going on.
That's
not anymore.
All right,
Mike, so
true.
Did you jump in on this?
So I jumped in a little bit. I know, obviously, about the last episode, watched some of it. So, yeah, I know about Jimmy and Kelly Jo, and obviously Tom and Ashley wanted a little more, and Tom
but
was
not.
But
do you realize that Tom was the one who ended things with Kelly Joe?
I think Tom is doing whatever producers tell him at this point.
I think that this is all something that we are not privy to, because there's got to be something else going on. They're all like sheep, and they're all talking, and they're like, yes, we have to get married. Don't you understand?
Well, because you'll get kicked off the show.
Yes, but, Kevin, I don't think that's just it. It's got to be. There's got to be a monetary incentive here that we don't know about.
Honeymoon? Free honeymoon?
I think maybe you get married, pay for the wedding, obviously.
Don't you think in our culture they're thinking like it's The Bachelor? Like, that's what I'm saying. It's the low-rent Bachelor. And just, so they used to
pay those people like – couple hundred bucks to go show their ass on Jerry Springer.
Yeah.
And they would just go do it so they could be on TV.
Is WWE, what's the shit federation, Sean? What's a shit federation? I know you don't want to insult anybody. Okay, forget it. I used to know them all. UWF. But it's they're getting that caliber of people. But I think that's what they think. And I think now Tom, he's moving out on her in a way. I just feel like producers are in his ear, and I think he's all in. Because he's trying to make good TV.
What do you think about the Yogi?
Well, I think he definitely doesn't like her anymore. I think they know they're not going to get married.
Yeah.
And she's like, wait, you have a week and a half left in the house, and you're going to.
Way worse than she is. She's kind of annoying, but he's a prick.
Yeah. He's a goof, I think.
What do you think about the Yogi and.
I love the black guy. He's great.
Yeah, he's great.
Yogi's okay. They kind of bore me. They're all starting to bore me. I'm happy for Kelly Joe.
Because they're not bringing in
Kelly
blood.
Joe and they were the two best people on the show, I thought.
That wedding seemed nice.
And it made me, and it made me say, you know what? Maybe I'm buying into this now. Because, I'm just saying, like, if somebody, like, if one good marriage came out of it, and I actually think Kelly Joe and Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Yeah, I think
Jimmy
other
Joe.
Great too, Kevin. And I feel
you're right. The Naya,
Naya and whatever.
Yay, Naya or
Jimmy. No, Bill,
and,
whatever his name was.
Ronaldo.
But you know what's he was the whitest dude ever. You know what's crazy is that on the show, the two they know that this is so insane that it's actually working, that the two people, the two hosts of the show keep being like, and it works.
Yeah.
And Spouse House actually works.
Yeah.
And like every time you can see the earpiece, they're like, and what? It's working.
Say it.
Yeah. Crazy.
Anyway.
And I think they have the same person talking to both of them at the same time, because you can see he gets mad because the female host gets it quicker and she says it and then he just says the same thing. Because he's getting the same lines, but he's getting them a little slower. He's a little slower.
I'm praying for a season two, because it'll be like 90 Day Fiancé. Now the bucket, the pool will open up.
But we have to send somebody on.
Yes.
I think we need somebody in there. We need somebody in the mix.
I'm not willing to give up Klaus, because I'm saving him for Bachelor. He's our mole for Bachelor.
Thank you, Kev.
But yeah, we need someone.
Okay.
We need someone else. I think Ashley would do stupendous on Spouse House.
Fuck yeah.
Ashley would be.
Do you think she'd end up engaged?
If she wanted to, but yeah. We would coach her to hang in as long as she could and create enough drama where they'd keep her.
Yeah.
And then at the end, it's like, I'm never going to get love. Boom, boom, boom.
But have you ever seen her try to play along with people she doesn't like? She's not very good at it. Like with the guys, I feel like she'd be like, ew, these guys. Like she is. Yeah. She needs somebody who's like, tall and ripped and handsome, and the second she looks at these guys, she's gonna be like, nope, sorry.
Well,
love you, Ash.
It depends if next year's crop was better. Like, it will go up next year if we get a season two. I don't know if we're gonna listen really quick, you guys. Why don't we do some news and then we'll get out of here?
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea to me.
Poor Scanlon.
We talked about Scanlon's the solar eclipse.
It's Scanlon's birthday tomorrow.
It's Scanlon's birthday tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
You guys, and Juliet, her birthday week concluded on Saturday.
How come I haven't been invited to
I was anything? Not. You were on your anniversary.
Don't talk about Scanlon.
You mean you don't have
Scanlon
a birthday?
Scanlon doesn't have a scam.
You mean she don't have a birthday season?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Listen, it's so weird. I don't know if you believe in horoscopes, but it is weird that everyone here was born around the same time.
I know.
Because it's like been a month and a half of straight birthdays.
Except for you.
But, well, you know, somebody had to put the team together. when we get back, I told Scanlon, I'm going to throw a tomorrow show birthday party, okay? So, like, we'll all do something. Rox, you won't have to go. You don't have to.
Please.
I know you won't want to be there.
I want to get drunk.
No, you make.
Old
no, here's the thing. If I invite Ben, you'll go.
What?
That's the secret.
That is so not
if
who I am.
If I invite Ben, then so Ben
is so
invited,
not who
then
I
you'll
am.
Come.
You think that that's me?
I know that you know. That's the new Roxy, but that's okay. Listen. Everyone has to retire.
I hate that
get out
girl.
Of the league. I know. Well, when we get back, we're going to have one.
So
Sean, sad. Sean, Raylan, Lauren, Juliet, Michael. Everyone's had a birthday.
Hey, Cap, do you remember Paul Harvey?
Paul Harvey.
Stand by for news.
Good day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I wonder what his theme song was. Paul Harvey.
I don't think he had a theme
good
song.
Good day?
He was back in the day when they didn't have entrance music.
And he had the most interesting take on the news.
He was great.
He was amazing. Whole different scam. I think his son tried to keep it going and then it just died. Like everything. Like Game of Thrones.
No.
All right, Michael, what's going
on? You think it's dying? I love Game of Thrones? Night's episode.
No, but remember what they said? That the only enemy is death and there's no getting around it.
Oh, yeah.
We're
last night
die.
Was like the best episode yet, almost.
I wish you could. You can't talk Game of Thrones
because
people
know.
Get crazy. But
you can only talk about that.
So good. Michael, what do we got?
Well, let's talk a little music news. That's the biggest thing. I want to get your guys' opinion. Talking about American Idol judge, obviously the show is coming back. A name has been thrown out, David Hasselhoff. For American Idol judge.
Why not?
Okay. Wasn't he doing like America or your England,
why are you so
England
upset
Got
about
Talent
that?
Or something?
Well, I just he's not big into music right now.
He's an amazing singer. I saw him in London as Billy Flynn in Chicago. He's got a killer voice. He's a huge performer. I think he'd be perfect for it.
Also, he's brave. He'll say he doesn't care what he says. I mean, so
I think he's a great choice.
Would that make you want to watch more?
You have Ryan and Katy Perry. People are going to watch. This doesn't need to be overthought. I have some inside information I'm not able to share, though, about talking to an exec over there about it, but about some of the people they're looking at. But no, he'd work. He'd be fine. Yeah.
They say that his reps are currently in talks with ABC. Other people that are reportedly in on it could be judges or Lionel Richie, Charlie Puth, Luke Bryan, or Keith Urban.
Yes.
So do you think, Roxy, you're a big fan of the Hoff? Do you think he's better than those people? Would you rather? I mean, I see a lot of those people.
I mean, nobody's better than Lionel Richie.
Yeah, but I mean,
that's
as far
like
as like who would be an entertaining judge,
him.
I think.
Yeah, Hasselhoff, too. Yeah.
Listen, anyone's going to be fine. It's going to work. The problem they're having over there is that they put out so much money that the other networks are saying, good luck to you. We would not touch it. It's a lot of money to put that show on.
It's not going to be on Fox, is it?
No, it's on ABC.
ABC. Right.
But everyone's saying, like, a lot of money.
Just in the judges alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very expensive.
What?
Well,
just come up with a new show idea.
Listen, you know how I feel. As long as people are having fun. What else?
Well, a big name that I think anybody would love to see, but is certainly not there yet, Taylor Swift. It's been 3 years since she put out a new album. She released a pretty cryptic message on social media.
Smart.
Literally blacked out her Twitter. I looked. She's following no one on Twitter. She has now one tweet, and it's like her cover photo and profile are like blacked out. She released a 10-second video of like a snake's tail. And a lot of people thinking that she's going to be putting out some new music.
So, Lauren, you know, no one has more respect for female artists and super into female empowerment.
Yes.
Empowerment. But this is one smart broad.
She's very smart.
She is a smart broad.
Mm-hmm.
She's just circling the wagons and getting really, really quiet because she's going to hulk up and, you know, the new album will go crazy and the internet will melt. And
eventually, she doesn't have Twitter right now?
Listen, she's going to take...
Well, she's on Twitter.
She just has one tweet. She blacked out all the rest.
You'll see.
What's the handle?
5 million?
Taylor Swift 13.
Here's what's going to happen with this. This girl is like, she's so smart and well-read and, you know, I think she's going to take the Adam Carolla business model, which is, you know, being broadcasting directly to your fans and monetizing product, CarollaDrinks.com. The way Adam does in that raw form, and we'll never get the credit for it. Taylor will, as technology and evolves and things collapse, and it's more about artists going directly to their consumers with their products, and that'll be her. That's what I think.
One tweet, though? Why delete all of your tweets?
Because it's, again, now we're talking, and
it made news.
It's that, you know, we're getting ready. It's the calm before the storm.
I mean, she had one intern who had to just sit there, delete.
No,
she's got, listen, she's probably got about...
You can just delete them all.
Lauren, what, 75 grand in the bank?
Yeah, probably about 75. Maybe 70.
I mean,
I'm not sure.
Up. So you take like 5 grand and you hire, you know, one person, like, and then you have what, like 70 left?
Mm-hmm.
So she's not going to be broke.
Good point. She can make rad.
What else we got, Mike?
Well, another music group and people that are looking at working together, Chance the Rapper, is all over social media talking with Bruno Mars and John Mayer about working together.
I could care less. Next.
Well, I want to go back.
No, okay, no, it's okay.
Just so you know,
sounds great. I'm in.
Taylor Swift pulled. Raylan, will you go to me to the?
Raylan, can we go get a Lime Ricky together and then go to the Chance the Rapper and John Mayer concert?
I'm so down. Let's do it.
All right, I love
Lime Ricky is like with Cherry and
yeah.
I
think it's an East Coast thing.
Yeah, I asked because last it was a month ago. Raylan, I asked Raylan to the ice cream social and she said no.
Oh, shit. Maybe she doesn't like ice cream.
I don't know what it was. Well, that's what she said, but I don't know if it was just to brush me off. Rejection. But then I want to see if she'll get a Lime Ricky with me and go to the Bruno Mars John Mayer concert. And who did I miss out?
Chance the Rapper.
Chance the Rapper. Yeah, I'm in. All right, I'm in. Whatever. Like, why? I don't know. Why is that? It sounds like great news. I don't know. Like, right?
Should
I be against this?
No. It literally is irrelevant except for the fact that one tweeted at the next and then they're all tweeting at each other like sucking each other's cockies.
We're big fans of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
The one thing I want to know, going back to...
I love Mike with the hard news. I love it, man. You dug deep on that one.
Going back to the Jerry Lewis, I want to add that he apparently passed away of a heart condition. And I want to get your take on this because the talk is that he had the film... The Day the Clown Cried.
Yeah, amazing.
Will that come out?
Yeah, eventually. Again, I heard this. It was on Jimmy and Sam's show, but they supposedly he donated to the Library of Congress.
He donated to the Library of Congress, I believe, in 2014, what is alleged to be the only copy.
And in 2014, they're allowed to...
In 2024, I think.
They can show it.
They're officially allowed to release it, but I don't know if that's changed since he... passed away, whether he never wants it or whether it could come out sooner.
I don't know. I'd love to see it. It's about a clown in the Holocaust, you know, during the Holocaust.
Apparently
you never heard of this, Sean? Oh, it's famous. Like, it's been the, you know, big film that no one's ever seen. That he's vaulted. He paid and vaulted his whole life. So.
And it's not good. For people who have, a couple people have seen it, says not good, content and how it makes him look with the...
I heard he like had like $200 loafers in it as he's like in the concentration camp. Like, I don't know. I'd love to see it. They said, who was it? I forget it was one actor said he saw it and he said it was just weird. I don't know.
Yeah, it's about a clown, a guy who is sent to a concentration camp and they put him in a clown suit and he has to lead the kids into the showers.
Get the fuck.
Is he the clown?
He is the lead character of the clown.
For him.
Oh, that sounds like, from what I've heard, something right up his alley.
I just...
Jesus Christ.
That's the news.
That's it?
That's all.
What a buzzkill to end the news
No, I have one thing that I think is kind of interesting,
what,
Pat,
Lauren?
That you may like.
What?
So, Josh Whedon's ex-wife wrote a scathing essay, and she claimed that he cheated repeatedly during their marriage and that he's a hypocrite preaching feminist ideals.
So
and
Josh Whedon, obviously, who did Buffy, mm-hmm. who now is scheduled to do anything related to like the female, like Batgirl and all the DC female stuff coming up. And has always been like a female advocate, just for anybody who doesn't know. Also, he comes from Marvel.
And the biggest female advocates like to have sex with them.
I was just going to say,
I'm a huge advocate of females. That's one of the things that makes me such a great advocate is because you guys are so hot.
I don't think cheating on somebody makes you not a feminist.
Thank you, Rox.
Honestly.
Just means you're an imperfect
Interesting.
Human being.
Yeah. I like that.
What about that means that you are not an anti-feminist? I just don't understand the correlation.
Well, I guess what she's trying to say is he...
Doesn't respect women?
Doesn't respect
because
women.
Because he lied about it the whole 15 years, and it came out after they were divorced. But I was...
That's how it always works.
Yeah.
You always lie about cheating.
Yeah.
But
that's
I'm wondering, from your perspective, Kevin, like, what would it take somebody to come out after a marriage when someone's got a public image like this to destroy it? Like, what's her incentive
scorn of a woman.
Destroy anything.
He's killing it.
No,
his,
no, but scorn
career.
Of a woman. Do you know, that's what they, that's why they have that saying. It's like,
a woman scorned.
There's nothing like
nothing
it, you know, so she's probably very hurt. And to see him, you know, maybe she's not succeeding in her life like she would want. Maybe she feels that she was kind of the woman behind the man to get him there. We know some people, Rox, right now.
Yeah.
Where there was the woman very strong behind the man. Now the man's very successful. And he's like, yeah, I'm good. Yeah. Now I want to get on to my stuff. And it's like, whoa, wait a second. So there's a lot of bitterness. And I can see that.
He's gotten a lot of really good publicity recently because Zack Snyder, who had to step away from Justice League based on the suicide of his daughter, when Whedon stepped in for him to finish it, a lot of people have been like, he's a martyr, he's a hero, you know, stepping in, saving the day. And that probably fueled her fire a little bit. Like, no, he's not. He's a motherfucking cheater. Which he might be, and he might not be a good husband. Sounds like he really wasn't, but it has nothing to do with him as a filmmaker. It's not like these people who don't believe the Holocaust happened, so you don't want to go see their film.
Wait,
like,
what? The Holocaust happened?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what the movie's about with the clown.
Mike. Okay, right, Mike?
Yeah.
Mike will let you believe that. He doesn't want to offend you. I know. Michael, come on.
Every time I do talk about the Holocaust happening, Michael does kind of look down like he doesn't.
Stop it.
He gets a little cheerful.
Stop it.
He gets a little... Does it move, Mike, when you hear about the Holocaust? Anyway. Listen. Let's take us out. Why don't we? Let's bring in the...
His wife was insufferable. And
her feelings are hurt. So, you know... She wants to go back at him, and this too shall pass. Why, Lauren? What do you think?
I kind of agree with Roxy. I thought that didn't necessarily make him an anti-feminist, but it does make him a bad husband for sure. Makes you shitty partner and just a bad person to keep that deceit from someone for so long and string them along. But I don't know.
But the thing is, like,
I don't think I'm a bad person.
Right. I think it's just hard because,
good people
well,
do
listen,
bad things.
That's what it is.
Okay.
I think we spend too much time judging people by a moment. A moment.
Well, you know, it sounds like a lot of moments
a moment to define somebody. Yeah, but maybe she wasn't the best wife.
Yeah, totally. That could be true, too. But just like exit, you know, if that's the case.
I agree.
Yeah, you never know. Maybe you could, maybe you couldn't. I don't know. I'm not defending it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm just saying it's just hard to judge. You know? Like,
you cheat on somebody for 16 years, it has nothing to do with the kind of human being you are. It has to do with the kind of relationship.
Did he pay the VIG?
That I didn't.
Did he
read.
Pay? If he paid the VIG, then you know what?
Who cares?
Right. It's a nice
exchange.
You got your
cash.
Yeah.
Sure,
give me
I'm
my.
Sure
maybe she wants more.
She may want. Maybe she wants more. But sometimes I notice with the scorn of a woman, the money that's not enough. They just want to keep going.
Pay, yeah. Money was,
hey, at the end of the day, we can't all have perfect spouse house marriages
like Kelly Joe.
Jimmy and Kelly Joe.
Well, you know, Game of Thrones, we were talking about Cersei the other night. It doesn't matter about the dead guys or whatever. It's just about, for her, it's just going to be about revenge and killing everybody. It's not going to be, no greater threat's going to get her mind off it. I've had guys be like that in business where it's like, wait, so you really have no logic other than you personally just want to hurt the other opposition, really. I mean, it doesn't matter. That's all it's about. It's not in the... Yeah, those are the worst kind of people. And I think like, a lot of times with women, because they can be emotional, you'll get that, where it's logic just goes out the window, and it's just about, I just want to hurt you and keep hurting you and impertuity. So I'm not saying that's the case with her, by the way, but we were talking about that with Cersei. She's like, with the leader, you know, Game of Thrones. Isn't she going to see this greater threat? And no.
I think she'll team up with them if she can.
Temporarily.
Yeah.
But in the back of her head, it's to wipe them all out. It's not about, yeah, okay, we need to.
I think she'd rather team up with the Walkers to see how
exactly.
They took out the Drags.
You know what? And I was wondering if her, like, number one witch doctor there doesn't figure out how to turn the Walkers.
Yeah.
To make an army. But anyway, yeah, she's... But if you've lived long enough, I hope you don't have to do business with people like that. I have on one or two occasions. And it's just like, you can't just get the F away from people like that fast enough, because it's not about logic or right and wrong, and nothing you do makes them happy other than they just want destruction and conquest and, you know, it'll hurt you. So that's why you walk away.
Yep.
Right, Roxy Stryer? Sean, who's on your show this week?
Kenny Omega. Do you know who that is? He's a huge star that's not in the WWE. New Japan's top American
guy?
Or top gaijin, because he's actually Canadian. A lot of press on him right now. We're going to do a SummerSlam
freakout. See, that's what I like.
I was thinking about calling JR and having him come on for a few minutes, maybe.
Oh, my God.
Just to be interesting, because him watching as a fan, right? It's got to be, after all those years of calling those matches, I would love his.
He called one of the matches on
I love when they bring him out. He did.
Show.
On NXT.
The NXT show was better than SummerSlam.
Really?
Quality-wise and, like, as a hot show, it blew it away.
It's amazing what Triple H and Stephanie have done with NXT.
And Kev, it's amazing to me that guys that you've never heard of come and debut, and the people all know who they are, and they go ape shit over somebody that you wouldn't even recognize. Johnny Gargano or Adam Cole. You ever heard of those guys?
No.
Of course not. And the people, though.
But the hardcore fans, yes, know them. I love that. I also love that the gimmick of letting old-timers, or not old-timers, but veterans. That's how Samoa Joe made his, yep, way back up, or make his way in. I love that.
Yeah, it's not as much a developmental, it's a brand.
It's becoming, yes.
Yeah.
Is it crazy?
It's a mix, a little bit of a mix.
I had heard that Vince was in shock one of the first times he saw
Legend. I was there that when the first time he came.
And what was he?
Dallas.
And did you see his reaction?
Yeah.
What was how?
Yeah, he was just like, it wasn't Dallas. It was, sorry.
In L.A. here.
Yeah, no.
New York.
No, up there in San Francisco area when we had WrestleMania.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah.
And what was his reaction like?
You just couldn't believe it. It was sold out. That was the first time they sold a big building out, like 8,000-seat building.
And he just must have
been like, couldn't believe it. No. Because the main roster couldn't even sell that building out a lot, you know, back in the day.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
It's come a long way.
Okay, we got some,
breaking news. Yeah.
Oh, what?
Breaking news.
Oh, no. Well.
The producers, the production company behind Spouse House.
Yes.
So we tweeted out from tomorrow's show saying, what do you think about us trying to get at Ashley Daniels on Spouse House? Should we make this happen? And that production company actually responded, retweeted it, and said, love this. Thank you, Kinetic Content.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. We're in.
We're in.
No, Ashley's going to kill me. Like, just
she's going
to
love it.
She's going to be violent. Again, it goes back to the original Bad News Bears when Rudy had to get hit by the ball.
That's how
for
you
the
get
team.
Over shit, Kev.
You got to get hit by the ball. No, it hurts. No, you'll be fine. You guys, it's tomorrow's show. It's the only MC. At the only
there
MC.
You go.
At
nice.
Roxy Stryer.
Mwah.
Sean, what's yours?
At the real X-Pac.
At the real X-Pac.
Yes.
At Lauren LaGrasso. At Bonjour Juliette. At I Am Ray Lynn.
Yep, that's it.
Right?
Ray Lynn Taren.
What? It's not I Am Ray Lynn? No?
It's Ray Lynn Taren.
It's Scamlin? No? What?
I should just go with Scamlin.
Scamlin? You guys, I will be on another hiatus. Unfortunately. But I always leave you in good hands. Sean and Roxy are here. And I know I've been getting blown up by some celebrities who want to host too. So you'll be all right. You'll be all right. But a couple weeks, Captain Kev has to take care of business back east. You know?
You're doing big things back there, though. Exciting stuff.
Anyway?
Yeah. I got your itinerary, man.
Oh, I hate it because we have the property that I've invited everyone to come live with me on. It's just, I just land and I just, to the left of me is work, the right of me is work. Everything is like, it's just 60 acres of work. And then Maria's dad has this like a two family that junkies come and move in.
Shit. Oh, a little rental property?
They rent them, yeah. They sign the deal. They go usually a year without paying. And then when you go to evict them, they leave and go to the next public housing, or they wreck the house, and then they up and leave to go to the next house that they can wreck because legally you have to, for public assistance, you have to make the house amazing for them. And this just goes on and on. And I have to, this is the last junkie that got thrown out, and I'm finally ending the madness. I'm going home, and I said, Costa, I'm going to go in. I'm going to blow the house out. I'm going to finish it. And then you know what I'm doing? I'm taking the screw gun, and I'm screwing the front door shut, and no one's moving in ever again.
Yeah, but then, like, okay, Section 8, you're at least guaranteed your money every month from them.
Yes, but then with the Section 8 people, it's great, but they wreck the place.
Yeah.
And then they leave.
And you put all that money
and back and because it. They wrecked the place, they don't want to be in anymore because they've wrecked it. Now they get to go to a new place to wreck.
Yeah.
And then you deal with the other scumbags who just never pay and wreck the place. And it's like...
You just can't have nice places that you rent out. Like, I mean, if you have pride of, like, if you have pride of ownership issues, just, it's not the right deal to do. Yeah.
And they're kind people and they're loving and it's just, you know...
You gotta be a slumlord to make money.
And it's like that. So in other words, like, between everything else I'm doing, I'm actually, Sam and I are building his studio, but that'll only be a day. Sam Roberts, the new Sam Roberts studio. There's a lot of other. Oh, and then the Fenway thing. Yeah. I don't know if we're able to announce that, but who cares? No, we're not announcing that? Okay, sorry. Well, follow Maria's social media, and there will be a big full circle for this old carny who used to work outside Fenway. Maybe he'll be inside selling food. Just the one thing I don't like about that deal, Juliet, and I won't say any more about it, is it's because I just know. So why do I just know I'm going to have an apron and I'll be working?
Oh, because you 100% will.
Flipping whatever falafels or whatever the scam is. Like, that's
cleaning
the,
also.
Like, I don't want in on this. Anyway.
What's the...
No, I think it's kind of cool, Kev. You, like, get
no,
to go
it's
back.
A full circle because to work Definitely. Outside that park and have all these dreams and just be like, where's my life going? And all the crazy shit that happened in the carny business. Now to be going back there and to walk past all the guys I used to work with and fight with. And
they're still there?
They're all still
Where are
there.
They going to go?
Are you nervous to run into them?
No, the last time I did, I told you I hid. I was with Michael Chiklis, and I just hid. And one guy locked on me, but another guy, they didn't even didn't recognize me or whatever. I told you, I'm not the only one to come out of that place. Casey Affleck used to work there, too. He worked at another sausage stand for this guy, Gatesy.
Do you think you're going to hide again this time, or are you going to say hi?
No, I think
people?
I'm going to go up and say hi and be nice. You know, try to be nice and whatever. Be great. Always be gracious in victory. You know, so.
Well, we'll keep the mangria
flowing. Just glad it's over. Keep the, yes, please, please. Well, can someone here pretend to drink? Because
yeah,
I know I'm always
I'll
the only
it.
One.
I think I'll do it.
Listen.
Without Ben, because I'm a solo act.
If we have Ben here, you would drink. That's the key. If you want Roxy on an event, you know Lauren,
well,
right?
He drives. Then I can get shitty.
So that's what I'm saying. Get at the Tomorrow Show birthday party. All right. Listen, but until then, you guys, please, what, Raylan, what?
Have a better tomorrow.
Not quite.
Not quite.
Let's try again.
2 years.
Okay. No. That's okay. That's all right. Nice try.
Okay.
No. Millennials get off the hook. Lauren, get the participation trophy for her, please.
Oh, yeah, I'm shining it right now.
Okay, thank you. Okay, until then, Michael Klaus, please.
Make it a better tomorrow.
No.
Thank you. No. Yes.
Do your best to make it a better tomorrow.
No,
that's
just
what you
make it
say.
A better tomorrow, but Kevin sometimes,
interesting.
Sometimes
go.
Adds in. Do
you
your
always
best.
Say do your best.
Well, sometimes when I'm nervous.
Yeah.
Okay, nervous.
Michael got it right.
K-N-E-R-V-S.
Don't take that from him, Lauren.
And remember, on Thursday, Friday's for what?
The men.
Right? Roxy, no.
Oh, yeah, Friday's for
All right,
the men.
Well, you're the one who has to carry. If you're here manning the ship, you need to encourage alcohol, drugs.
All right. I could do that. I would appreciate
Sean, I actually
drugs.
Love it. I got into the edibles. Very interesting.
Nice.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. One night in La Hallucina.
What kind?
They were the cookie.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I went to the green shop or whatever it is, and in my effort to always try to be most popular guy, as I am at the coffee shop, got to know everybody.
You're considerably more popular with me. Just from telling
Ooh,
me.
Oh, by the way, there's a pizza shop that everyone wants to meet you.
Okay. Because
I wore your shirt.
Okay.
And they all went nuts. And I go, no, I like no.
Which
no.
one? The Xbox 1-2-3-60 or the one with the six ball in the back?
Six ball.
Sweet.
But it, I didn't.
Thank you for wearing that.
But I should. I always
That's
wear.
That's badass.
But I should have. But I should have. I should have wore it to the green place.
Yeah.
This place is amazing. So I just, I was like, do I go in and play cool like I'm the big druggy guy or? I was honest and just said, listen, I just want to get involved. How do I get involved? Like, I love this. And they said, what do you look at? I go, listen, I know when I was shot up with pharmaceutical heroin, you know, when I was in the hospital for an accident or whatever. It felt amazing. So how do I feel like that? She was like, listen. And she brought me right through all the stuff. And I got my dog on it, too. And baby's, like, doing so much better
good.
On it. It's doing great.
Yes.
So I had the cookie, and, like, I was hallucinating in a great way. And I can see my imagination just went away, and some interesting things came into my brain, and I'm seeing it.
I'm
and
happy to hear
you know what?
That,
the next day, the beer tasted better.
Yeah. Huh. Everything tastes better,
no,
Kev.
The next day, like, I had the 22-degree Bud Light by the pool, and I was like, it was the first time in, like, literally a year alcohol has tasted good.
Huh.
And I don't know. So I'll keep everyone informed. Not that it matters. You guys, I've gone way over time. I got to go in and watch 90 Day Fiancé. I love everybody. I'll see you guys in a few weeks. I'm leaving you in very good hands. Michael, what do we do? Until then?
Do your best to make it a better tomorrow.
Peace.
Oi.
For tuning in to The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. For guest bookings, questions, or comments, you can email us at info@thetomorrowshow.com. Be sure to follow us on social media and tell a friend about the show. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, your voice of tomorrow, wishing you a better one.